Okay, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians chapter 3. I don't know how far we're going to get here. But this is one of my favorite sections of the Word. There have been a number of things that have been established by the time we get to verse 1 of chapter 3. We'll look at a couple of those things as we go. But it opens with the word if, which is actually a figure of speech. It's we use it today. But it's when the word if is used, which is conditional, we'll see another place where this same figure is used in Romans. And it's used of something that's been established. It's really to draw attention to what's been established. You know, I might say to one of my children, if I need them to see something or get something or do, I'd say, look it. If I'm your father, you will, drawing attention to what? I'm your father. Listen to what I'm saying. Right? Well, that's maybe not the best example, but it's an example. So it's if or since. It's something that's been established. You're risen with Christ. Since you're risen with Christ. This is addressed here to a saint, to one who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Seek those things. That word seek, it means it's what you're pursuing. It's what you're after. It's what you desire. Okay? Seek those things which are above. Now above is kind of defined here as where Christ sits on the right hand of who?
God.
Right. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, since you are risen with him. And I want you to keep your finger here. We're just going to look. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're just going to read some familiar verses here. And then we're going to read a couple of verses from Colossians 1. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 4 it says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened. That means to make us alive. We were made alive together with Christ. This is in reference to gaining spirit life. Isn't that something? We were made alive with Christ, for by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's where we're seated. It's really something, with Christ, and we'll take a little bit more of a look at this in a minute. But I want to read verse 7, and here's the purpose. Here's why. In the ages to come, he might demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus or in Christ Jesus. See? That's the purpose. Now I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. On our way back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 1. It's always hard to pick a place to start here, but we're going to start in verse 12. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're partakers. We have a part in that share of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered us or rescued us from the power or the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, are we physically in the kingdom of his dear Son? There's a day coming, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But in terms of our citizenship, in terms of our authority, we are in the kingdom of his dear Son. That's who we belong to. We belong to God by what Jesus Christ did. We think, well, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your, and the word affection is a word that means your thinking. Okay, your mind, your thinking. We set our thinking on things above, not on things where?
On the earth.
On the earth. See? Here, it's, you know, things above as opposed to things on the earth. In the verse before it, it was where above where Christ what?
Sits
on the right hand of God. See? We set our affection. We set our thinking on those things. I can have my thinking, you know, focused and revolve around things on the earth. Things that have to do with this life. With the kingdoms of this world. Or my thinking, what I pursue, what I desire, are those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, the kingdom of which I have been made a citizen when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see myself in light of my citizenship in the kingdom of his dear Son. Or I can see myself as a citizen of and identify with being a part of the kingdoms of this world. I got a choice. See? I got a choice. And what we're being encouraged to do here is to set our thinking on those things that are above, in what's been accomplished in Christ. See? So we set our thinking on things above, not on things on the earth. I want to keep your finger here, and I want to go to a section that we read a couple weeks ago. We're going to read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But keep your finger or put your ribbon, because we're coming right back to Colossians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 14. Knowing this, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through or may cause the thanksgiving of many to redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, we don't become discouraged. But though our outward man perish or is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works or produces for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's something. You know, that light affliction as opposed to weight of glory. Momentary as opposed to eternal. See, that's what it produces. Then it says, while we what? We look not at the things which are what? Which are seen. But at the things which are what? They're not seen. The word look here is to focus on. We don't focus on the things that are seen. We look at the things that are what? They're not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. They're momentary. But the things which are not seen are eternal, as opposed to momentary. Okay, now I want you to go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 3. We're going to read 1 and 2 again, though. If, or since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your thinking, on things above, not on things on the earth. For, verse 3, you are dead. Now, this is in the Greek. This is it's in the aorist tense. It's a verb. And it's a one-time action in the past. So it would read, you died. You died. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that neat? You died. You died. Those things that are seen, the things of the kingdoms of this world, of this earth, that which we can see, have to do with that which has died. Our true life, which is in Christ, is eternal. You know what? Let's go to Romans. We're going to come back in a minute, but I want to go to Romans. Romans 6. I'm going to read this section here. You know, Romans 5 talks about the death and the sin. Boy, and what a critical thing to understand when it comes to Romans. It's not talking about your sin. It's not talking about you. It's talking about the sin. The sin was Adam and what Adam did. And it resulted in the death, which was the loss of spirit life. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring as the last Adam. See? Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin that grace may abound? God forbid, which is a real loving way of saying that is really stupid. How shall we that are dead to the sin, is how it should read, live any longer therein? Know ye not. Now here's why. Don't you know this? Don't you know this? That so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Don't you know that? This baptism into Jesus Christ is spirit. It's the baptism that Jesus Christ talked about in Acts chapter 1, which came to pass in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter stood up after they said, "Whoa, what is this we see? What is this we hear?" He explained it to them and said, "And you too will be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the promise of the Father." That's the baptism that's being talked. So, we are baptized into his what? Into his death. I better put my glasses on. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Do you bury someone that's alive? No, you bury a dead person. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See? And that's that new life that was talked about in Romans 5. That spirit. That which freed us out from the condemnation of Adam. For if we have been planted together or united together or identified in his death, we shall also be in his resurrection. Isn't that something? Knowing this, that our old man should read was crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve or be enslaved to the sin. For he that is dead is freed from the what? The sin. He's free from it because he's dead. See? Well, Jesus Christ died in our place. So when he died, we what?
Died with him.
We died with him. And when he was raised, we were what?
Raised
with him. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto the sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, just like this is what that means. Reckon. Just like this, reckon yourselves to be what? Dead. Indeed unto the sin, but alive unto God in Jesus Christ. See, that's how it should read. Isn't that something? We're alive unto him. You know, whenever I read this, I think of, and I can't remember his name, Watchman Nee, I think his name was, wrote some books. He was a Korean, I think. And when he learned this truth and got born again, he ran through his village yelling, "I'm dead. I'm dead." And he was just rejoicing that he was dead. He got it. See, because what that meant was price was paid. And because the price was paid and because I died, now I can live. Freed from that stuff. Those are the things we think about. See, those are the things we set our affections on. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We are really not going to get very far in this chapter. It's okay. This is great stuff to think about, isn't it, though? Colossians 2, verse 12. Well, let's read verse 10. Oh, heck, let's just go to Genesis. Verse 10. And you are complete in him. It means you're completely filled. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. This should read, putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's how identified we are. Buried with him in baptism. We just read about that in Romans, didn't we? wherein also you are risen with him through the believing of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Through the believing of the operation of God. The operation of God was he got him up from the dead. You believe that? There you go. Boom. That's something. You confess him as Lord, you believe that God raised him from the dead. See? And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all, what? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, nailing it to his cross. It's all done. It's all done. See, he paid that price. Done. Now let's flip the page, or we don't have to flip the page, do we? At least I don't in my Bible. Back to Colossians 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This word appear, when Christ, who is our life, we're dead in Christ, we were made alive with Christ. We are in Christ. This word appear, it means to make visible that which was invisible. To make manifest. To make clear that which was unclear. Okay? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, it will be made clear who this Jesus Christ is. Then it says, then we will appear with him in what? We will appear with him in glory. Now, appearing with him in glory, there's a couple scriptures I want to look at. But this appearing with him in glory is an event that is future, and it is an event that takes place after our gathering together, when Jesus Christ comes to gather the church. This is speaking of a time when Jesus Christ will be revealed and will come with the glory of God. And we're coming with him. That's what this is talking about. Isn't that something? Our life is hid with who? That's life. That's eternal life. We'll forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think on these things. See, what the world tries to do is the world tries to make this life everything. This life is the barometer. See, this life, what happens here, this is what determines whether you're a good believer or a bad believer. Whether you're a good person or a bad person. Whether you're successful or unsuccessful. All the hideous measurements that this world presents to hold yourself up against. Don't think on those things. Think on these things. You're going to appear with Jesus Christ when he comes with the glory of God. And I promise you, people will know who he is. That's right. There'll be no mistake. No mistake who's in charge. No mistake who's calling the shots. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our life is hid. That's what we think on. Isn't that something? That's right. Our life is hid with Christ in God. That's our real life. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Well, let's keep reading, actually. We stopped, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We read verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the exercised power of darkness, talking about the Father, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom... in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's nothing owed. Total forgiveness. Who is the image of the invisible God? Okay. Now this is explained down to verse 18. But Jesus Christ manifested the Father. Do you remember when Philip said, hey, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus Christ said to him, whoa, have I been with you so long time and you haven't seen the Father? Philip, at least believe me for the work's sake. Whose will did Jesus Christ do? Always did the Father's will. As I see, as I hear, I judge, I speak. He always did the will of the Father. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, or literally, of the firstborn of every created being. It's pretty wild, huh? Speaking of Jesus Christ, for by him, this is talking about the invisible God now. Let's kind of look at it kind of like a parenthesis. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible, invisible. Whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist, speaking of that God. So now, we're going to explain, verse 18 kind of explains 15, the firstborn of every creation. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? The preeminence. Isn't that something? He's the firstborn from the dead, that he might have the preeminence in all things. He is the first one to be risen from the dead, never to die again. And death has no more dominion over him. He's also the first fruits offering from the dead. He's also the firstborn of a new creation. Isn't that something? That in all things he might have what? Preeminence. He's first. Jesus Christ is first. See, because he's the one that made the sacrifice. You know, it talks about this in Romans. It's keep your finger here, Romans 8. Ah, here we go. For whom he did foreknow, he also... I'm sorry, verse 29. Okay, you guys should have known. Come on. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many what? Among many brethren. See? Among many brethren. Isn't that something? We wait for his return. There's another place in the Word that says we're going to have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. He's the firstborn of a new race of men. That's right. And we're his brothers. That's what we have in Christ. Now that's something to think about. Isn't it? You know, I don't know all that that's going to look like, but it's something to think about. See? I have all that in Christ. Isn't that something? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Since you then be risen, verse 1, with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your thinking on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Isn't that something? And then these next few verses, which I think we're not going to take the time to read through, but it talks about, you know, mortifying the members of this body, this physical body. Because what am I thinking about? Right, why would I want to live as a child of disobedience? You know what a child of disobedience is? As somebody who rejects Jesus Christ. Why would I want to live like one of them? Why would I want to live like somebody who doesn't have spirit? Why would I want to live like somebody that God doesn't work into, will and do of his good pleasure? Why would I want to live that way? Why would I want to live like somebody who is not going to appear with Jesus Christ when he comes in the glory of God Almighty? Why would I want to do that? See? Doesn't make sense, does it? No. That's why I don't. So don't. Then that says, put on the new man. Put on the new man. That new man that we are part of in Christ. See? And in that new man, there's not Jew, there's not Gentile, there's not Greek, there's not Scythian, there's not barbarian, there's neither female nor male, none of that stuff. We're all in Christ. See? We're all worth the same thing, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? We put that on. See? Because of where we're headed. See? So think on these things. That's what we think on. Okay? All right. So, amen.